passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Well, the second hour is live. We were talking to Jack a minute ago, and we got some information during the break about the commercials. According to our research people, there are the same number of the commercial breaks, 8 per half, as there were last season, and the break lengths are virtually identical from last season. So there you go, Jack. Let's continue with Augie.
This isn't Augie. This is Douglas Atkins, ESPN Vice President for Human Resources. Mr. Feinbaum, please come to Bristol after the show. Bring your ESPN credentials and your electronic door card.
Let me interrupt you. We know it's not anybody from ESPN because they wouldn't be watching this late in the afternoon.
I was going to say, please
have
your
be out
staff
playing golf.
To HR for reassignment.
Yeah, no, they would. It's 4 o'clock up in Connecticut. It's 85 degrees. I'm sure they're on the 19th hole.
Paul, do you feel uncomfortable when people start criticizing your employer?
I say this in all candor. It doesn't faze me in the least.
It doesn't seem to.
Because
you seem to just
I see enough that goes on around me that this thing could end by the end of the segment, so I just take it with a grain of salt.
Well, hey, speaking of ESPN and, you know, the controversy with the cable, that guy who said he goes through London and he gets all these channels.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
I
right.
I go through a Nigerian TV company. I get every TV station on Earth, plus a few from distant galaxies. So
yeah,
there you go.
I wonder what else that guy gets for his $16.
You kind of wonder, don't you?
Yeah, I wonder if that's just an entree.
The Pat McAfee thing, I'm not a big fan of Pat McAfee on game day either. Now, you know, Pat McAfee, he just doesn't fit in with that group. It's like you're bringing in a football player to sit with the band. And I'm not saying everybody on the desk is band members, but he's better off when he's in the end zone with his posse cracking jokes. He just doesn't seem to fit on game day. But I think that Florida fan, Paul, who called you and said he's happy with the way things are going in Florida, you know, he's in Oregon. I think he's been in Oregon too long. I mean, how can you be happy if you're a Florida fan?
My understanding is, I mean, isn't that one of the legal states for
yes.
cannabis?
Yes. And probably for a lot of other things. But, Paul, did I read that Deion was undergoing surgery today for a blood clot, or was that old news?
I think that was old.
Okay. All right.
Deion, he may be in traction as often as he's patted himself on the back since Saturday.
Well, I just wish the best for Deion. I always thought Deion was a good coach. And, you know, when we were looking for somebody and people were throwing out Deion's name, I was one to say, hey, I think that would be interesting because I think Deion is a good recruiter. And I think what people don't give him credit for, I think he makes a good CEO, although he doesn't come off that way. I think he's good at running an organization.
Well, what he does best of all, and this is the new conversation you're hearing, is he relates to players, and they want to be around him. And there are some coaches in college football that are becoming less attractive to players.
Well, and that's what I fear about Brian Kelly. I just don't think Brian Kelly is the kind of guy to relate to players. The thing I see with LSU is I see Brian Kelly trying to coach LSU like he's coaching Notre Dame or Cincinnati, and that's not going to work. I just don't see that happening. And, you know, today people say, well, you know, you got to give a guy time to build a program. The rules have changed, Paul. Instant success is now a reality, and I think it's a realistic expectation.
No, I agree. That's why I didn't agree with that caller about Billy Napier. I mean, how long do you have to show that you're a competent coach?
And, I mean, Billy Napier was brought in because they thought he would bring them instant success. Am I hallucinating, or was that not part of the deal?
Well, that was the part of the deal, Augie, was he was going to change the culture overnight, and he hasn't.
Well, changing the culture overnight is what Dion did. You get rid of all of the old people and you bring in new people.
But Augie, how do you change the culture overnight? You have to be an extraordinarily charismatic person. You have to. Wave a magic wand.
Unless you're Dion. And
I mean, Nick Saban
undefeated.
Changed the culture overnight. Other coaches have done that. And, Billy Napier changed the infrastructure overnight. He began hiring a bunch of analysts and assistants, and he was fortunate in the sense that they were already about complete with this zillion-dollar renovation, which they desperately needed. AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, sir?
Good.
Good, good. Well, Spectrum, they pulled the plug. Other color, Mr. Jack is so upset. This is what I like when he's fat Americans. You got crumble. I love when fat Americans, you guys, fail. You guys are failing, just like the LSU Tigers. Mr. Feinbaum, where's Dwayne?
Dwayne's exactly where I thought he would be, with his head stuck
That's
up.
Right.
I can't say that, can I?
No, you cannot. It's okay. I got it. Hey, you don't have to be an American to figure out what you're trying to say. I get it. He ran his mouth 15-0 championship. You're not even going to the playoffs. And did any Clemson fans call in? Are they crying? Can we get some respect? Did you have any Clemson losers calling to the station, Mr. Feinbaum?
No.
No, because you're not going to hear from them. Their little mini dynasty, it just ended. Over. Guess what? This Saturday, another business to be taken care of. I want everybody to crumble. I want everybody to fail. Alabama is going to be upset, just like you said on ESPN earlier, if I'm not mistaken. So all those losers, I love when he fell. That's my pleasure. Holla.
David called last night. Remember the guy, the divinity student from Durham?
How you doing, Paul?
David, your future as a minister has been cemented because you have already prophesied a football victory for Duke.
Well, that's very kind to say, Brother Paul. I certainly don't claim to be a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I do think the Lord has blessed me with a measure of discernment. And so, Paul, I just wanted to call and kind of share my thoughts. I'm not calling to boast or to tell anybody that I told them so, but I do have a legitimate hope and belief that Duke could be a very serious contender for the ACC championship. What do you think, Paul? Do you think I'm crazy or do you think that's feasible?
I don't think you are crazy because they were so dominant in many respects. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm the son of Dabo Sweeney and talk about all the weird occurrences, but they were created by players from Duke. That just didn't happen by osmosis. So I think I haven't really looked too deeply at what's ahead for Duke, but I think you've beaten one of the toughest schools on your schedule. So what else can you do other than embrace it?
I know that's right. And I don't know. Again, I wouldn't claim that I've had some sort of ecstatic vision, but I just have that sneaking suspicion, man. I think Duke could very seriously go 6-1 in conference play. I think NC State, I think Louisville, Wake Forest, UNC, Virginia, Pitt, they're all beatable. My only hang up is Florida State. But I mean, we very well could be looking at Duke going 6-1 in conference play and playing in that ACC championship game. And for those who would think that I'm crazy, it happened just a few years ago. God moves in a mysterious way, brother. We'll have to see what happens.
Thank you very much, almost Preacher Dave. We'll take a break. We are coming back. A lot more. We're going to talk to Nick Kelly from Tuscaloosa. He did a deep dive on Eli Gold. We'll also ask him about the Tide as they get ready for the whole world about to show up on the doorstep.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Listening to Nick Saban during the break talk about some of the injuries and the Jalen Milroe situation as Alabama gets ready for Texas Saturday night. Nick Kelly covers the team for the Tuscaloosa News. A lot to talk to Nick about. Nick, let me start with what Nick Saban said there and about the aftermath of Middle Tennessee as we turn the page to Texas. Your impressions on especially Milrow and what his really fantastic performance meant to this program.
Hey, Paul, great to be with you. Really, there's a lot to be encouraged by. I think at this point, if you want to say quarterback competition, not so much as, you know, anymore. Milrow could have opened that door if he didn't play well, but he did play well. Of course, there are a few things that maybe he wants to work on, some things that you could say he could improve on, but overall, a lot to like there. So I think there's some cautious optimism based on what happened in that Middle Tennessee game, because, yeah, it's Middle Tennessee, but there is a lot to like there, a lot of encouraging signs, and now we'll kind of get some more answers against a Texas team that's coming to town this week.
Nick, you could always find fault with any win. We're not talking as coaches. We're commentators here and reporters. But, you know, some people expected more, the bully ball, the rushing game. I realize circumstances prevent that sometimes. They dictate other things. But what was your takeaway on Tommy Reese's first game as offensive coordinator?
They certainly want to run the ball. Sometimes they did it well. The offensive line had some great blocks, some real just edge, you know, nasty kind of blocks that they brought to that offense. But there are also some moments where they couldn't run on the inside as much. But I think there was a much more concentrated effort to, hey, we're just going to run at you and we're going to try to bully you a bit. And we'll see how that keeps developing as they kind of work to see how they want to get that offensive line configured for the long stretch.
Nick Kelly with us. Nick, no community has had more big events over these many years than Alabama. The LSU games every other year are major titanic conversations. The Auburn game, Tennessee game, it just doesn't matter. There's so many major events. But I bring that up just to ask you about this weekend with Texas. It's so anticipated. It's such a spotlight. I mean, other than the Deion Sanders conversation, which is going to be going in full board, what does this week look like for that community and the anticipation of Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama students?
I talked to one business owner that thinks it's going to be the biggest game in Tuscaloosa since 2011 against LSU. I mean, this is a game that could have some astronomical numbers in terms of foot traffic, business. It really could be one of the biggest games that has been here during the Nick Saban era, if not the biggest in terms of just people in this town. I mean, frankly, I'm not sure I'm going to want to go out on Friday, because the amount of people, the sheer number of people who are going to be in Tuscaloosa could be crazy.
Nick, let's go back to last Saturday. And while all of us were watching the quarterback situation very intently and intensely, you were spending the day with Eli Gold, who has been such a remarkable story to so many people. The headline in the Tuscaloosa News, inside Eli Gold's first Alabama game back after year of cancer. And I say this, Nick, as a longtime friend of only 40 some odd years of Eli, but I was so touched by it. Just your descriptions, the people that came up to him, the pictures. I'll get out of the way because you were with him. Tell us about it.
It really was special. I mean, here's a guy who has been out of this since the Arkansas game back in November of 2021. And then he fought cancer, which they didn't know was cancer, for so long. The other things that they were trying to treat him for masked that. And so it was tough for him for so many months, because not only is he going through all this health stuff, but he's been doing this since he was 16. This is a guy who just loves being in that booth. And so the fact that he had to be away from it for so long was really tough for him. And not to mention, he was frankly battling for his life. I mean, there were times where he was almost on his deathbed, but he rallied from all that. He fought through, he fought in the trenches, so to speak, to be able to come back and announce a game, because that takes some stamina too, to be able to be in that booth for, you know, 3+ hours to call a football game. And so he worked so hard to come back for that. He wanted to come back for the Iron Bowl a year ago, couldn't make that. He wanted to come back for the A-Day game, couldn't make that. But finally he was able to come back to the booth. And for him, it was just really special. And you could tell he's had so much in his life the past year or so that has not been normal, that for him to be back in that booth, he said not much has changed, is pretty much the same as he's known it. And I think that was just for him a chance to be home in a place that was normal in a year that has been anything but.
Nick, in terms of reaction, I realize it's a long day. He gets there very early. I know he ran into a lot of fans. What were those exchanges like?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks were excited to see him, not even just fans, but people who worked at Bryant Denny Stadium. I mean, I saw several staff members, whether it be by the elevator, the press box, inside the press box, just any place he went, there were usually a few people who said, "Eli, it's great to see you," kind of thing. And I think for a lot of people, and for myself, as someone who has known Eli for a couple of years now, I hadn't seen him since that fall of 2021. So it was great to actually see him again, to be able to talk to him. And he and I had talked on the phone some, but to be able to see him in person was fantastic. And I think a lot of folks felt a similar sentiment with him being back, just for all that he's been through to get back to that moment.
Nick, as it began, tell us about how he looked and sounded, and you mentioned the stamina. What was that like, and how did he handle it?
Yeah, well, first off, he's lost a ton of weight. That was, he'll tell you that's not necessarily the way you want to lose all that weight, but it's what happened. So he's definitely thinner. But yeah, in terms of his voice, he still sounds like the same old Eli when you talk to him, when people come up to him. And as far as him being in the booth, I think there was a little bit of adjustment period, just kind of getting back in the swing of things. He equated it to, you got to take a, you know, first few hits to kind of get you back in the game. His first touchdown call, I don't think he was thrilled with. I mean, he told me he was disappointed with it at halftime when Jalen Milroe had that scramble where he picked up the football and found his way to the end zone. So Eli was disappointed, but he pushed through that. And then by, I think it was the fourth touchdown when Jalen Milroe hit Isaiah Bond in that deep pass. Touchdown Alabama was back in terms of how he says it, and only he can say it. And so it took him a little bit to get back. There are a few kind of kinks to work out, a few things that he might have wanted to do a little bit differently, as he's very proud of what he does, and he wants to make sure he does it well. But overall, I think it was very much so a sense of, yes, Eli's back, and this is the Eli that we've known from before.
I'm getting really emotional thinking about what you saw, and I realize reporters have to, you know, be neutral and objective, but I can't imagine knowing you and knowing your interchange with so many other people who have struggled, including our close mutual friend Cecil Hurt. What was it like for you, the reporter, to see him at really one of the most emotional moments of his life?
It was surreal. I mean, so I met him at his car when he pulled up, and his wife Claudette was there, and they talked. They had an exchange where they said something that the rest of us couldn't hear who were there, but you could tell how much it meant to them for him to finally be in that moment. I mean, she was tearing up. They kissed, you know, kind of goodbye, wishing him well for the day, and just seeing that was really neat, because they've been married for so many years, and being able to see that as someone who is going to be getting married next year. It's one of those things that is inspirational to see that kind of support that he got from her. And he'll tell you that, how important she was for him as his rock through so much of that health, the health struggles he had. And so, I mean, that was just amazing to see, just for those two. And to be able to see anyone, I don't care who you are, Paul, if it's in sports media, if it's in sports, if it's not in sports, to be able to see someone who is back doing what they love doing after they've been through so much to get back to that moment is really special. And he didn't make any big fanfare about it on the air. He didn't make some big hullabaloo, so to speak, about he's back. But you could tell that Eli's back in his chair. He's excited to be back. And for me, as someone who just enjoys seeing people do what they love to do, it was really special.
Well, such a heartwarming story, but I also want to compliment you. These are not easy things to do. You have to work very diligently to put them together, and I think all the readers of Alabama football benefited by you being able to get that access, and it was a fantastic story. Nick, thank you very, very much. Extremely well done.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for having me.
We're delighted. Nick Kelly joining us from the Tuscaloosa News as we hit the break here. Been a busy show. Already had the star running back from the University of Tennessee on. We talked about Eli. We are a long way from being over. Clemson and South Carolina conversation in the next hour, and that should be quite fascinating.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, Ricky. Don't lose that number calling us from Mississippi.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
It's okay, Ricky. We're doing great.
All right, man.
It's the only one I have. I bet you used to play that song, didn't you, back in the day?
I never played it, but I remember the song well, though. I mean, I get teased a lot about that.
I bet 99% of the audience has no idea what we're talking about right now.
I know. But What I was calling about is this past weekend with State. You know who they were kind of, you know, who in the same, you know, or in a similar situation, you know, they kind of mirror one another. And I heard you talk to Hugh Freeze yesterday, and they're in that same boat, you know, with the, as like the quarterback situation, new system, new coach, new everything, and on the offense. And then you got the two quarterbacks, one that, you know, and they have to, you know, to throw. Like Will Rogers, he's a thrower, and then you have Mike Wright is the runner. And I had no idea that guy had that kind of speed, though. But it's just amazing to see State in a, you know, from the last 3 years or so with Mike Leach, and now you got this ground and pound going on. I mean, you know, you actually got tight ends in there. I mean, I think I remember that. It was a pretty decent tight end that that State had. He played baseball too, Brad Cumbest, and I think he had to leave the team because he didn't have tight ends, so he just stuck with baseball. You know? So it's a good thing to see, because I love the ground and pound. I think the defense is always been good because they're kind of a veteran group. They've been around, so I think they're going to stay. That defense is going to – that front seven is going to keep them in some games and going to give them some toughness. And but the team is going to be tough anyway, especially that those running backs that they have. And because I remember Woody Marks when he played against Alabama last year. I think he got a broken nose in the game, and he came – they went on the sideline and fixed his nose, and he come on back out there, you know. So I can imagine doing that, man. I'm going on. I get hit in the nose like that and broken nose. But I'm really impressed with the running game. This guy from Gainesville, I think his name is Creed Whittemeyer. I think he's a name that people can look out for. The speedster, wide receiver. So the test is going to be when they play LSU, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean the opportunities are really clear, are really early. Ricky, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much for your call, Kelly on Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yep. So since we talked, unfortunately, I've been going through some health problems, but. Things are on the up and up now, so, you know, this show has helped a lot.
Thank you.
So anyway,
much.
I wanted to discuss the two Floridas. So, how many games do you think Florida will actually win, and how high do you think Florida State can go in the polls?
Well, Florida State's already made the big move.
They're four right now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that they're, you know, their game with Clemson in a couple of weeks will certainly define where they head over the next few weeks. As far as Florida, I'm hesitant to go all in either way, but until I see the Tennessee game. I think, in fairness to the Gators. Starting at Utah was difficult. I expected more. Yeah. Obviously, everyone did, and the result was disastrous.
Really,
but I still think that could be an outlier.
It could be, but they look very disorganized and confused.
Well,
that's what I got from.
In other words, they look just like they have every other game in Billy Napier's tenure.
Yes, before Billy got there.
Well,
but
obviously.
I mean, State was overachieving. I mean, I really did not expect LSU to collapse. So far in the second half, but I think they've come to play and they have something to prove. And definitely I don't see Clemson anymore as much of a threat to a lot of people. I don't know if Dabo's even going to win seven games. What do you think?
It's hard to make a case for it because
I mean,
first of all, they were playing an average program who happened to have a very good year last year. They were playing in a stadium that is hardly daunting. And they had no excuse for how, I mean, it
what
was a million things went wrong, but that's so what? I mean, they're still, I expected Clemson to be a legitimate top five, top 10 team this year based on what people were telling us.
Yeah, but it never really, you know, Dabo's never really been able to recreate anything ever since he lost the quarterback. And it's just, he doesn't seem to know the direction either from that press conference. He's like, that was a weird game. What does that mean? That means nothing.
His press conferences are totally bored by them. They don't work anymore. Just like I don't think his communication with his team works anymore.
Obviously. But what do you think Brian Kelly's problem is? What was wrong with LSU?
I think I think some of it was the physicality of Florida State. It just got to a point
where
they got frustrated early. I mean, I think they made some terrible decisions, and you have to blame that on Kelly. I mean, he's the head coach. He's the final word on that. And, you know, you make a couple of bad decisions, you get nothing out of it, and it just becomes frustrating. And I'm not making excuses for anyone, but then it just gets away. And then meanwhile, the other team is literally knocking your helmet off.
They were just running up and down the road at will.
I will make a crazy statement here. I don't think LSU is in as much trouble as a lot of people do. I think they have a potential to come back.
To what level, though?
Well, they're to a level win. That at least keeps them alive for a while. but
longer
their
than
next issue
Florida.
Is getting out of
Let's
Starkville. I mean, they can't think about anything else other than beating Mississippi State in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If they lose, and I think there's a realistic chance that could happen, and I say realistic. I mean, what does that mean? That means the game will be competitive. Then their season then is over. There's no path forward.
Yeah. So there is light for them. Florida probably not though.
I mean, I'll take LSU's final record right now over the Gators. Well, Kelly, I hope your health issues get a little better. We'll be thinking of you.
Well, thank you, Paul, and thank you for taking my call. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure, Kelly. Thank you very much. Hunter Yurecek, the outstanding athletic director at the University of Arkansas, honoring Alex Collins and Ryan Mella, two of the all-time greats who have died in recent weeks. Their initials will be on the 3 and the 15-yard line on the home side of Frank Broyles Field. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Listening to Nick Saban during the break talk about some of the injuries and the Jalen Milroe situation as Alabama gets ready for Texas Saturday night. Nick Kelly covers the team for the Tuscaloosa News. A lot to talk to Nick about. Nick, let me start with what Nick Saban said there and about the aftermath of Middle Tennessee as we turn the page to Texas. Your impressions on especially Milroe and what his really fantastic performance meant to this program.
Hey, Paul, great to be with you. Really, there's a lot to be encouraged by. I think at this point, if you want to say quarterback competition, not so much as, you know, anymore. Milroe could have opened that door if he didn't play well, but he did play well. Of course, there are a few things that maybe he wants to work on, some things that you could say he could improve on, but overall, a lot to like there. So I think there's some cautious optimism based on what happened in that Middle Tennessee game. Because, yeah, it's Middle Tennessee. But there is a lot to like there, a lot of encouraging signs. And now we'll kind of get some more answers against a Texas team that's coming to town this week.
Nick, you could always find fault with any win. We're not talking as coaches. We're commentators here and reporters. But, you know, some people expected more, the bully ball, the rushing game. I realize circumstances prevent that sometimes. They dictate other things. But what was your takeaway on Tommy Reese's first game as offensive coordinator?
They certainly want to run the ball. Sometimes they did it well. The offensive line had some great blocks, some real just edge, you know, nasty kind of blocks that they brought to that offense. But there are also some moments where they couldn't run on the inside as much. But I think there was a much more concentrated effort to, hey, we're just going to run at you and we're going to try to bully you a bit. And we'll see how that keeps developing as they kind of work to see how they want to get that offensive line configured for the long stretch.
Nick Kelly with us. Nick, no community has had more big events over these many years than Alabama. The LSU games every other year are major Titanic conversations. The Auburn game, Tennessee game, it just doesn't matter. There's so many major events. But I bring that up just to ask you about this weekend with Texas. It's so anticipated. It's such a spotlight. I mean, other than the Deion Sanders conversation, which is going to be going in full board, what does this week look like for that community and the anticipation of Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama students?
I talked to one business owner that thinks it's going to be the biggest game in Tuscaloosa since 2011 against LSU. I mean, this is a game that could have some astronomical numbers in terms of foot traffic, business. It really could be one of the biggest games that has been here during the Nick Saban era, if not the biggest in terms of just people in this town. I mean, frankly, I'm not sure I'm going to want to go out on Friday because the amount of people, the sheer number of people who are going to be in Tuscaloosa could be crazy.
Nick, let's go back to last Saturday. And while all of us were watching the quarterback situation very intently and intensely, you were spending the day with Eli Gold, who has been such a remarkable story to so many people. The headline in the Tuscaloosa News, inside Eli Gold's first Alabama game back after year of cancer. And I say this, Nick, as a longtime friend of only 40 some odd years of Eli, but I was so touched by it. Just your descriptions, the people that came up to him, the pictures. I'll get out of the way because you were with him. Tell us about it.
It really was special. I mean, here's a guy who has been out of this since the Arkansas game back in November of 2021. And then he fought cancer, which they didn't know was cancer for so long. The other things that they were trying to treat him for masked that. And so it was tough for him for so many months because not only is he going through all this health stuff, but he's been doing this since he was 16. This is a guy who just loves being in that booth. And so the fact that he had to be away from it for so long was really tough for him. And not to mention, he was frankly battling for his life. I mean, there were times where he was almost on his deathbed, but he rallied from all that. He fought through, he fought in the trenches, so to speak, to be able to come back and announce a game, because that takes some stamina too, to be able to be in that booth for, you know, 3+ hours to call a football game. And so he worked so hard to come back for that. He wanted to come back for the Iron Bowl a year ago, couldn't make that. He wanted to come back for the A-Day game, couldn't make that. But finally, he was able to come back to the booth. And for him, it was just really special. And you could tell he's had so much in his life the past year or so that has not been normal, that for him to be back in that booth, he said not much has changed. It's pretty much the same as he's known it. And I think that was just for him a chance to be home in a place that was normal in a year that has been anything but.
Nick, in terms of reaction, I realize it's a long day. He gets there very early. I know he ran into a lot of fans. What were those exchanges like?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks were excited to see him, not even just fans, but people who worked at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I mean, I saw several staff members, whether it be by the elevator, the press box, inside the press box, just any place he went, there were usually a few people who said, Eli, it's great to see you kind of thing. And I think for a lot of people, and for myself, as someone who has known Eli for a couple of years now, I hadn't seen him since that fall of 2021. So it was great to actually see him again, to be able to talk to him. And he and I had talked on the phone some, but to be able to see him in person was fantastic. And I think a lot of folks felt a similar sentiment with him being back, just for all that he's been through to get back to that moment.
Nick, as it began, tell us about how he looked and sounded, and you mentioned the stamina. What was that like, and how did he handle it?
Yeah, well, first off, he's lost a ton of weight. That was, he'll tell you that's not necessarily the way you want to lose all that weight, but it's what happened. So he's definitely thinner. But yeah, in terms of his voice, he still sounds like the same old Eli when you talk to him, when people come up to him. And as far as him being in the booth, I think there was a little bit of adjustment period, just kind of getting back in the swing of things. He equated it to, you got to take a, you know, first few hits to kind of get you back in the game. His first touchdown call, I don't think he was thrilled with. I mean, he told me he was disappointed with it at halftime, when Jalen Milroe had that scramble where he picked up the football and found his way to the end zone. So Eli was disappointed, but he pushed through that. And then by, I think it was the fourth touchdown when Jalen Milroe hit Isaiah Bond in that deep pass. Touchdown Alabama was back in terms of how he says it, and only he can say it. And so it took him a little bit to get back. There are a few kind of kinks to work out, a few things that he might have wanted to do a little bit differently, as he's very proud of what he does, and he wants to make sure he does it well. But overall, I think it was very much so a sense of, yes, Eli's back, and this is the Eli that we've known from before.
I'm getting really emotional thinking about what you saw, and I realize reporters have to be neutral and objective, but I can't imagine knowing you and knowing your interchange with so many other people who have struggled, including our close mutual friend Cecil Hurt. What was it like for you, the reporter, to see him at really one of the most emotional moments of his life?
It was surreal. I mean, so I met him at his car when he pulled up, and his wife Claudette was there, and they talked. They had an exchange where they said something that the rest of us couldn't hear who were there, but you could tell how much it meant to them for him to finally be in that moment. I mean, she was tearing up. They kissed, you know, kind of goodbye, wishing him well for the day, and just seeing that was really neat, because they've been married for so many years, and being able to see that as someone who is going to be getting married next year. It's one of those things that is inspirational to see that kind of support that he got from her. And he'll tell you that, how important she was for him as his rock through so much of that health, the health struggles he had. And so, I mean, that was just amazing to see, just for those two. And to be able to see anyone, I don't care who you are, Paul, if it's in sports media, if it's in sports, if it's not in sports, to be able to see someone who is back doing what they love doing after they've been through so much to get back to that moment is really special. And he didn't make any big fanfare about it on the air. He didn't make some big hullabaloo, so to speak, about he's back. But you could tell that Eli's back in his chair. He's excited to be back. And for me, as someone who just enjoys seeing people do what they love to do, it was really special.
Well, such a heartwarming story, but I also want to compliment you. These are not easy things to do. You have to work very difficult, very diligently to put them together. And I think all the readers of Alabama football benefited by you being able to get that access. And it was a fantastic story. Nick, thank you very, very much. Extremely well done.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for having me.
We're delighted. Nick Kelly joining us from the Tuscaloosa News as we hit the break here. Been a busy show. Already had the star running back from the University of Tennessee on. We talked about Eli. We are a long way from being over. Clemson and South Carolina conversation in the next hour, and that should be quite fascinating.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.